In Jesus' name, let the words of Pastor Mark's mouth and the meditations of his heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Your sight, Lord. You're the only one that matters. You're the only one that counts. Your sight, Lord, in Jesus. I'm not saying y'all don't matter and you don't count, but if I don't please him, I've messed up really bad. 2 Timothy 3. I'm not going to read through this whole, you need to read it, but I'm not going to, it's really not about the last days. John chapter 1, y'all know pretty much by heart, don't you? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and nothing was made that was made without him. So that's pretty clear about the Word of God, isn't it? It speaks, and when it speaks, things happen, right? So it's very important. The Word of God is very important, isn't it? Yes. And sometimes we don't take into account how important it really is. I'm just going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to skip down a little bit. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Right? What's perilous mean? Dangerous, frightful, scary, things happening that you don't understand. And you can read on about that because it's awesome, but I'm going to go on. Let's go down to verse 12. All who desire, say all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, a lot of us have suffered some persecution, right? Somewhat. They might have laughed at you at work, it might have been, but really, we've had light afflictions, very light afflictions, haven't we? You got to be ready to do what the Word of God says, right? All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation, right? What was he talking about? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No, they weren't written. He was talking about the Old Testament. Well, the covenant. He was talking about the covenant. It's all one covenant anyway. But the Word of God in the Old Testament, I'm going to call it the Old Testament because that's what I've always called it, but the Word of God in the Old Testament are to make us wise for salvation in Jesus Christ. Because they prophesy Jesus, they prophesy what he'll do. They'll prophesy, in fact, they prophesy his first coming, his resurrection, his death on the cross, his second coming. All of it's there for you to see. All Scripture, say all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That don't just mean it was a good idea or, you know, Isaiah or David was feeling poetic one day and just thought, I'll write some nice things down. It said every bit of Scripture was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say Holy Spirit, but we know that the Holy Spirit comes on us and gives us revelation, right? And is profitable. Say profitable. Profitable. Means it profits you. It makes you increase in things, right? It profits you. Profitable for doctrine. What's doctrine? Some people think it's a bad word anymore. It's not a bad word. It means teachings, doctrine, what you believe, why you believe it. Very important. It doesn't mean what your church thinks or your denomination thinks. It means what the Word of God says. Can't confuse those two, right? Not what Mark thinks. profitable for doctrine, for reproof, like correcting you if you need correction, which we do, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Say good work. I'm equipped. Say I'm equipped. Because I read the Word of God for good works. Chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, in other words, be ready to preach when you feel like it and you don't feel like it. Be ready to preach if you've been studying for a week or you haven't been studying any. If the word of God lives in you, it should come out like water. It should come out. If you don't have any of the word of God memorized, shame on you. I know I shouldn't say, hey guys, come on, quit goofing off. Listen to what I'm saying. Seriously. Seriously. That's rude, man. That's totally rude. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What's that mean? They won't sit under sound doctrine. They won't sit under sound preaching. They won't sit under sound teaching. They will rebel at the word of God. But according to their own desires, because they have, say, itching ears. Itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So read the word. How many of y'all read the word regular? Daily. You get into the word somehow. Amen? I hope you do, because you need to, especially in these times we live in, okay? Read the word. Know the word. Know the word. Have an intimate relationship with the word of God. When you speak parables of the word. When you speak to someone that's unsaved and don't know God, you can speak the word of God to them without them even knowing it. Did you know that? Because if it lives in you, it just spills out. Hey, man, if I offended y'all, I'm sorry, okay? I had no intentions of offending you. It's just like when I was a boy, I used to goof off in church. Believe me, I know. And I got hauled out a few times and severely lacerated. Read the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. Not with itching ears to hear something you like. Don't allow the word of God to be corrupted. And corrupted, I looked it up in the Greek, it's to pine or waste, to shrivel or wither, to spoil, to ruin by moral influence, deprave, corrupt, self-defile, destroy. And it reminds me of Satan came to Eve and he said, did God really say? And you hear it today. Did God really say? Did God really talk about? Did God really say in Romans what he meant in Romans? Did God really say the things he said in the Word of God? Did he really mean what he said? Second Corinthians 11:3. I am afraid that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, your minds may be corrupted and led away from the simplicity of your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For you seem willing to allow it if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom you have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted. You tolerate all this beautifully. Well, in other words, if you hear a different gospel, If you hear a different Jesus preached, you know, there's a fantasy Jesus out there. Jesus loves you. He loves everything. He don't care about sin. In fact, we were confronted with that the other night by somebody that supposedly, well, God's not a God of rules. God's not a God of judgment. And I thought, well, yeah, he was all the way through the Bible. He's a God of mercy and grace. Like you said, brother, he did this for us. He did this for us, but we've got to embrace it and accept it. You remember when King Jehoiakim, he took a scroll from Jeremiah. Jeremiah had wrote out a scroll, and it was judgment on Israel. And he sat there. Well, the first one he got, he just threw in the fire and burned. But the second one, he wrote it. Jeremiah wrote another one down, which is a lot of work, writing a whole scroll of judgment down. He said he took a penknife and he cut pieces out of it and threw it in the fire. And I thought, who would do that? Nobody in their right modern mind would do that. Did you know Thomas Jefferson did that? I didn't know that. Thomas Jefferson took a penknife and he cut out every supernatural miracle that Jesus worked. This was his New Testament. Everything supernatural, he cut it out and threw it away. Even the resurrection of Jesus, he cut it all out. So Jesus was a good moral man with good teachings. And I did look this up, so you can check into it, but some things never change, do they? So you've heard of preppers, haven't you? What's a prepper? Some people make it a bad word. I don't necessarily think that's true, but getting ready for something that's been warned about, right? Preparing for things, right? I got a spiritual prepper 101. Everyone in your home and church should have a hard copy of the Bible and know how to use it. Hey, man, it's just a matter of time when everything on the internet's going to be corrupted. You ever heard of a corrupted file on a computer? You ever looked at a corrupted file on a computer? It makes no sense. Everything's flip-flopped. I'm just saying there's a time coming where people will not endure sound doctrine, so they will change it. I mean, it's been done in books for a long time, but just be careful. I'm okay with you. I've got the Bible on the internet. I mean, it's useful. I can go through multiple translations, but make sure that you know what the Word of God says. And when you read something that's false, you'll go, oh, that ain't right. That don't sound right. Because I've heard when they teach a banker, they let them sit there and handle money all day long, real money, all day long. They go through these bills, 20s, 10s, 5s, 1s. No, nobody counterfeits ones. Well, they might. But they do it all day. They touch it all day. And then they start putting counterfeit ones in the midst of these piles, and they'll go. Immediately, they'll know that that doesn't feel right. Something's not right here. And if you know the Word of God and study the Word of God and breathe and live the Word of God, you will know when something's false. But have a hard copy. How many of y'all, I mean, is there anybody that doesn't have a hard copy of the Bible? I'll get you one. Who? Well, hopefully she's got 10 or 12 if she lives in a normal American home. Yeah. But everyone do that, would you please? Would you make sure everybody has one and knows how to use it in your home? Okay, Lord God, We skip some. I'm going to talk about the wind of revival for just a minute, and then we're going to pray for anybody that needs prayer. We talked, how many of y'all were here or weren't here last week? Well, go back, just watch the YouTube, and we talked about the winds, the four winds of heaven, and we talked about the wind of repentance, and it was pretty long, but I'm just going to bring it down to the wind of revival today. I was telling Donna, it's weird because we were given this back in 2020, was it? I mean, 2002, I'm sorry. And, of course, I thought it was for right then, and it probably was somewhat, but I think we're right on time for this word now because I think we're fixing to bust into an awakening and revival. I really believe that we are right on the verge of it. And you know what the enemy meant for evil? How many of y'all know the Word of God says, what the enemy meant for evil, finish it. God will turn around for His glory. And look at what we've been through. Look at this corona thing. You think, what good could have happened out of this? This election thing. What good could have happened out of this? Churches meeting for prayer 4, 5, 6, 7 nights a week. That's what happened out of it. What the enemy meant for evil, the church is starting to gather in. Not that we haven't always had a praying remnant, but God, people are crying out for God because they don't know what to do. We've never been in this place before, right? So God is going to, He's going to use this, and He's going to hear the cries of His people. And the thing is 9/11 happened, and everybody went to church the next week, right? A lot of people went to church, and they were full. 2 weeks later, where'd you go? I don't think that's the case this time. I think people are going to press in for an awakening and a revival, and that God will protect us and take care of us in Jesus' name. We can't quit. We can't just quit praying and go, oh, well, that was a good idea, but it didn't work. Oh, no, it did work. God always works when we call out to Him. Always. Wind of revival. 2002, I think, September. I don't have the date on here. Late September, in the woods, in the hot dog trailer. Yeah, you got it at your house now, Mike. It was a hot dog trailer. I used to meet out there with the Lord in it. Pretty cool. I had a little heater, a little, what do you call those heaters with the, you put gas in them, but they glow. What do they call it? Well, it was a catalytic. It was gasoline. Anyway, it did the job. Me and the mice that lived in there, we always got along good together. Wind of revival. It starts out with an A to Z. When revival is needed. Revival is needed when God's church becomes dry and boring. Revival is needed when church meets all of man's needs except the spirit man. In other words, I got programs, I got this, I got that, I got this and I got that, but my spirit man is not getting fed. When church seems to meet man's needs but denies God's wants and desires. When the world is more in the believer than the Spirit of God. When little sins don't bother you anymore or convict you like they used to. When you are in a comfort zone, never challenged by God's Word. When the wonders of the Lord and the Word of the Lord no longer amaze you. When you don't have a passion for His Word, for the Word of God. When lost souls preparing to enter eternity without hope don't bother you. When the first thought you have when trouble comes is, how can I fix it? Who can fix it? Instead of taking it to God first. You know, that's why there's all this fear and tension and uncertainty, because people are wanting to fix this by themselves and they can't do it. They're saying, well, a government can fix it, and they can't do it. Only God can fix the situation we're in, and we must call out to Him first. Amen. There's other paths, but we should call out to Him first. He should be the first thought when something happens wrong. Amen. Is that true? You ever had that happen? You ever been close to a car accident or something and go, Jesus! And He works. Because that's a desperation prayer. It's a right now prayer. You're calling out to your King and your Lord. Praise the Lord. When building our kingdom is more important than building God's kingdom. When the joy of the Lord is rare. When praying is labored and not like it used to be, like breathing. When this race seems too hard to finish. When temptations are stronger than God's willing us to overcome them. When our first love grows dim. When we tell more testimonies of our past than right now. When we think badly of other people and we have a critical mind. When we speak critically of others, especially other believers. When jealousy stirs in us because of others who go after God. Really go after God. You ever been in that place where they're just rah, 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 yeah, fire of God, yeah. And you're like, oh, come on, slow down a little bit. No, cheer them on, man. Cheer them on. That's the thing. Brand new believers are like that. You need to cheer them on. You don't need to choke them down and say, hey, you know, you're getting a little too radical here. When giving to God and His work is a struggle. When fellowshipping with other believers is hard, I'd rather be with God at home. Uh-oh. And you know this coronavirus is feeding into that, isn't it? Yeah. Stay at home. And I'm not, you know, some people need to. I'm just saying it's stirring that. And there's a whole bunch of people that are, they've got used to watching this on. Praise God that we can do this. I'm so thankful. But if you can, you need to get out and fellowship because there's something about coming together. It's powerful and you need it. We need it. I need it. When you give up on the promises God has given you, visions, dreams, prophecies, the words from God, when peace is far from you and turmoil rules your life, when your vision is blurred, your hope is smothered, and your direction is lost. When you live in confusion, if so, you need revival. So I agree. Do you fit into one of those A to Z's? I know I do several. So I need revival. I need revival. I need personal revival. And when personal revival starts happening, corporate revival, revival in the church starts happening. But it's not going to happen unless we pray. If you look at the Hebrides revival, prayer, prayer, prayer. And it was only three or four people praying like this. But prayer, prayer, consistent prayer, and believing God and crying out to God, prayer brought revival. So this was tongues and a prophetic word from God. And so I want to read that to you. This applies to our church way back in the past. A lot of y'all weren't even there in 2002. How many were actually in the barn? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Weren't you, Nana? You've been in the barn, but you weren't part of the barn. The Lord bless her. Have mercy on her, Jesus. But your daughter was, I think. I don't know when she was there. Sarah, where'd she go? She got mad at me, I guess. Lord God, in Jesus' name. So this is what we were crying out for at that time. And I know the Spirit of God carries on, and we're all crying out for the same thing. You have asked for a move of God. You have asked for revival, even though you really don't understand what it is and what it costs. I do not ask for my children, my house, to do something lightly. You have to count the cost, just like salvation, just like freedom from this world. The prize is great, but the cost also is great. Behold, I ask you to consider the cost of revival. Do not take the reins if you're going to enjoy the glory, enjoy the harvest, enjoy the new birth, enjoy the deliverance. And do not allow the yoke, the anointing, the wind of revival to come on you unless you will continue to stand. You will continue to stand when all the devils in hell are unleashed, loosed, and even sent to this fellowship. When you break into revival, it don't repel demons. It draws demons to break it up. You know, if you're just going along, la, 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 he doesn't give you a whole lot of flack. But once you commit to go after God with all your heart, and when a church does that, I mean, well, anyway. And sent to this fellowship to destroy, to tear down what I will do in true revival. The enemy knows his territory will be plundered. His prize will be stripped away. Principalities will bow the knee to me. They will flee to dry places. Greenville, Indiana will become what its destiny has always been, a place where travelers and sojourners can find rest, are renewed and sent on their journey, fully restored. The enemy takes that pull, that call of destiny, and perverts it. And by the way, Greenville was a place of rest. They had a, you used to live in the stagecoach shop, right, where they took them up on a lift and they repaired stagecoaches, and they had places where you could get dry goods and everything. And that was all fine and well, but then it started turning into bars and houses of ill repute, and God took what a place to rest, and he turned it into a place of perversion. Kind of interesting. I don't know what year, but Greenville burnt to the ground. The Methodist church was left, and I'm not sure there was several buildings left, but there wasn't much of anything left in Greenville. It was consumed. Sojourners can find rest or renewed and sent on their journey fully restored. The enemy takes that pull, that call of destiny, and perverts it. Behold, I call you to take back what the enemy has stolen. Revival is not a movement or a thing the church conjures up. Revival is a divine move of God, a sovereign time, a gift, an honor to carry, an honor to receive, but will fly away when man's agenda and control comes. Yes, I have said revival is blowing at your property lines and is even blowing against your house, but you are not strategically ready to receive the fullness of what I'm about to do. It's so much bigger than you can comprehend. It's so much heavier than you can imagine. And by the way, I think this was spoken to us at that time, and I do think we're ready now. There's more. We can be stronger in the Lord, but I think we're ready for God to send revival fire on us. He sent it to us back then, didn't he? Boy, we had a move of God going in that barn. We saw things. We saw signs and wonders and miracles. We saw all kinds of stuff. We felt the presence. As soon as you drove up on that property line, you felt the presence of God. When you walked in that barn, you felt it. Just like a lot of people, if you come in here all the time, you don't even feel it. But lots of people come in here and never been here before. They feel the presence of God. The enemy broke in and tried to steal what God was doing and busted us up, but he didn't kill us. We weren't down for the count. We're back up and we're wiser, hopefully, than we were then. Because sometimes you don't get maturity and wisdom until you go through some fire. Nobody likes to go through fire, do they? Again, light afflictions, but it hurts. It hurts a lot. Behold, this is for y'all, faithful intercessors. Praise God. This is for everyone should be an intercessor, but behold, I need the intercessors to arise and come to their places. Wow, y'all have really, really risen. The intercessors are strong, and there's prayer and intercession going on all the time up here. And it says, not a wandering band of sometimes off, sometimes on, sometimes warriors, but empowered, released warriors girded up and tearing down the walls of the enemy and building up the walls of the holy city. I have a plan. Say, I have a plan. Pray for it. And I will release the fullness, the authority to press in and destroy the works of darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, dear children, you have not because you ask not. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Ask me for revival, and I will give it abundantly. Ask me for revival, and I will give it abundantly. Behold, I have shown you the wind of revival is right outside your door. Ask not amiss. Revival is not yours to bring or control or make into a draw or a shrine for this church. True revival belongs to me, and I will not share my glory with anyone. I, the Father, want to do the work in your hearts. I want to remove the hardness. I want to replace the faulty, clogged valves that have been made ineffective by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and just enough gospel penetrating your heart to keep it beating. But you have denied enough of my treatments and my orders and commands to make you terminal. In other words, don't let your heart be hardened. Let your heart be made soft again by the word of God, by worship, by the love of Jesus. Don't die before your destinies are complete. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rend your heart to me, and I will save it, deliver it, and free it. I will make it new. I have the ability. I will do all things well. I take broken things and make them work. I take old, worn-out things and make them brand new. I will create in you a clean heart. I will change your desires from carnality to holiness and walking in the Spirit. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a hope and an expected end. I am looking, I am seeking someone, some church that will wholly go after me and will not become prideful, will not faint in the heat of battle. I'm looking for saints who know a true move of God is not a feeling, a buzz, a temporary feel-good. A true move of God will change you forever. I liken revival to a farmer who has a corn crop that has come to fruition. It is beautiful, full crop of corn. Every ear with no disease or bad places. You ever seen ears of corn that's dead on the end? This field of corn has no defective parts whatsoever. The time is short. The fall rains are coming. The farmer sets out with a sickle and a horse-drawn wagon. The field is immense, hundreds of acres. The task is impossible. The farmer owns a huge combine that would harvest the whole field in less than a day. But the combine is out of fuel, and it needs some belts and some maintenance work. The church has a huge job to do. Millions of souls ready for harvest, but our equipment is broken down and out of fuel. Revival will repair, restore, revive, replenish, rejuvenate, and refuel the church, multiplying the harvest by 1,000. I can do much with little, says the Lord. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers, teachers, leaders, evangelists, pastors, apostles, and prophets. Ask for the wind of revival to be released. Ask for the wisdom to prepare and break off that foul spirit of procrastination and slothfulness. I will send revival on faith harvest. I release the winds. You are to receive and follow. The joy is unspeakable as you learn to obey me without question, and you see your prayers answered quickly because they will be in my will. Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. My eyes are forever on you, and I'll wait for your answer to me. I will strengthen you and show you my strength and those I put in your path, your vow, your loyalty to me. Meditate on this and then act. I will get these put on the internet somehow so you can look over them and pray over them. I know Mike Beal prayed over them once and had points, prayer points for him God gave him, but I think a big part of revival fire falling is us coming together with two or three or four churches that are like-minded. I think that's very important, and I think that's a key to what God wants to do. And the prayer set y'all are doing from Kansas City, that's a key to what God wants to do. And our personal prayer for our church. I hope you pray for your church every day. I really pray you pray for me every day because I need prayer. You know, it gets heavy sometimes if you let it. It shouldn't, but it gets heavy sometimes if you let it. And I tell you what, can we all, if you believe God wants to send revival, if you believe this Four Winds message is from heaven, I want you to come up here like you did last week. And we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for revival, and we're going to ask God to loose the winds of heaven on revival. Can we do it? Can we do that? Let's stand up. You don't have to get close together, but you can stand up here and raise your hand towards that revival banner. And be sure to get prayer before you leave, because God wants to heal you.